there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to a Wednesday. It's hour one. Gang's all here ready to go. The day before, some big news announced on the program. Sign up for the newsletter. There's a lot of speculation on what the news could be. Conspiracy theorists. And maybe... losing one of the Danettes. Yeah, maybe. That's what people are speculating. Maybe we lose Seton O'Connor. And
oh, we're naming names.
People are. People are wondering.
Wow.
They're speculating. There's a picture on the newsletter, and some people are wondering. Seton's not in the picture. Is he really not in the picture as we move forward? Yes, Paul?
Is this like the Beatles, Paul is dead, I am the walrus type stuff? Play it backwards, Seton is dead.
Well, no, I would have had you not in the picture.
Right, Paul is out.
And Paul is fired.
There you go.
And but that's not the case. That's a...
I'm not fired.
You're not fired. No, no. Then Todd, you're good. You're safe. Marvin, you're safe. And Seton, you're safe too.
Dan's got a four on his t-shirt.
I know.
Though, and then there's four people in the picture.
Yes.
They're clearly sending a message.
Yes. And that was unintentional.
I wish we were that creative.
Yeah. But on the newsletter, there's a photo there, and it's to give you a little hint of what the news could be coming up officially tomorrow. But you can get a hint if you go to the newsletter. You sign up, go to danpatrick.com, just put in your email address, and over 40,000 of you have signed up. And it recaps the show and gives you a heads up on things that are happening before we announce it on the show. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. If you're watching on Peacock, thank you, our streaming partner. Download the app, our radio affiliates around the country. And if you're chatting on Chat Row, operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. Well, what'd you watch last night? Got football coming up tonight. I watched the Pelicans, who didn't have Zion Williamson, going against Luka. And the Pels ended up winning. They didn't have Brandon Ingram either, and they ended up winning that game. Luka had a pretty good game. But as they start the coverage on TNT with Ernie and Shaq and Charles and Kenny, Ernie Johnson goes, no Zion, no Brandon Ingram. And then Kenny Smith goes, no chance. And we know we never do no chance. You always have a chance. And they ended up winning that game. I think Shaq's the only one. I got Pelicans by four. And, you know, sometimes you get these guys who are like, I got my chance here. Let's go out and play. And then the team you're playing against is like, well, there's no Zion or Brandon Ingram. And then all of a sudden you're in the throes of a competitive game, and you're like, wait, how did we get here? And they're gaining confidence. I also watched just a little bit of Golden State against Phoenix because I thought, all right, let me check in on my Warriors, see how they're doing. And it didn't go well, not at all. And Klay Thompson got ejected. He was jawing with Devin Booker a little bit. Phoenix and Golden State combined for 7 technicals. Phoenix won this game comfortably. Klay Thompson whistled for 2, ejected for the first time in his career. 651 regular season games. But he did have a great response. He and Devin Booker were going back and forth. First of all, Klay Thompson's minutes are limited, and he looks limited, and he looks really frustrated. And he was 1 of 8 from the floor. Meanwhile, Booker's going off. And at one point, as they're going back and forth, Klay Thompson just points to his fingers. Like, I got rings, man. You don't have anything. Like, what do you have? You're famous for dating a Kardashian. Now, he didn't say this. I'm just saying, if I was Klay Thompson, I might have said some other things there. Yeah. What are you known for? Now, he did score 70. And a great regular season scorer. You guys were up 2-0, and you let that slip away, right? Yes, Marv.
First of all, he wasn't thriving in a man's game. Second of all, she's not even really a Kardashian. She's a Jenner, so she's really not even top dog. She's second fiddle.
I don't know. I'm kind of fond of Kendall. You know, she looks like normal, natural.
Dang.
I still recognize her. Let's put it that way.
Dang.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
It felt like Devin Booker was saying, tonight, scoreboard, what I have and what the scoreboard says. And Klay Thompson said, career scoreboard, yeah. Which is always a great, great fallback.
Yeah.
All right, D-Book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, D-Book. Yeah.
Got a lot to say.
Got a lot to say for a dude who hadn't done a damn thing.
Yeah, that's where you
easy.
Go.
Easy.
Dude, come on. Check the resume. Check the resume.
I got full rings.
It's a man's game, man. Yeah, Paul.
I had a problem with one of the bench players on the Pelicans, Trey Murphy III.
Yeah.
Do you need the third
junior the
if
third.
Your first name is Trey? Because Trey is a nickname for anyone who's a third. His real name is Kenneth Murphy III, but he goes by Trey Murphy III. Mm. Isn't that redundant?
Shouldn't his number be 33?
Yes.
Shouldn't it be 33?
Either go, you can't put a third on the end of someone's
You're right.
Tray.
That guy had a perfect shooting night. Perfect from the field, the line, and 3-point range.
It just has to change his name.
Yes, Trey.
It's weird, the things that bother me.
Well, I think, you know, we've been doing that for 20 years now, pointing out things that bother us. And they're the smallest things. You're like, oh, I didn't notice that. All right, Seton, what's the poll question you have today?
I'm actually going to throw it over to...
Todd?
The ambitious and proactive Todd Fritz today. I think he's got some things on his mind.
Is it an eclipse today?
Okay, see, I know how this works. It's like once every 6 weeks, you come out with a couple of poll question suggestions. And these are all things that are bothering you. Fair?
Sure.
Okay.
I think you give me too much credit for once every 6 weeks coming up with poll questions.
I know.
Probably like 2.5-3 months, but I appreciate it.
All right, go.
Would you refer to how many rings you've won during regular season trash talk, as we were just discussing?
Okay.
And a damn right I would, or nah, that's kind of weak.
It depends on what I want to know what Devin Booker is saying to Klay Thompson. I don't know. But that, are we going to escalate? How far do we get? Because that's always that scoreboard right there. Now, Devin Booker might be pointing to scoreboard last night. Klay Thompson's pointing towards scoreboard on his fingers there. Yes, Todd.
Which means, should you be the better man and not to point to you? Like, why does he knows he's won 4 rings. If he's pointing to the scoreboard and one team's 2-1 and the other team's 1-2, it's like the fourth game of the season. Do you really have to pull that out of your pocket? I won 4 rings.
So this bothers you?
Seems a little unnecessary and childish, and that Klay could be the better man. Let Booker talk. He knows he's got his rings. He's got to point to his fingers. I don't know.
Yes, Marv.
Todd, nah, absolutely not. Because you got to tell him, look, that's cute. It's October. But when it's June, I'm over here playing and I'm over here putting up banners and I got rings on my fingers in this man's game.
Okay. It's a man's game. Yes, see.
The ring talk does get a little old, though. Because, like, even Shaq you know, he's still like,
Chuck, I only talk to guys who have rings.
And it's like, dude, okay, man. But like, that's all you have to say now is like forever.
I only talk to people who have rings.
Good grief.
I don't know what Devin Booker.
Charles said. Just got you guys all a huge raise. How about that?
That is true. I don't know. Yeah, you're right
you
about
keep,
that.
You keep cashing my checks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know what Devin Booker said to Klay Thompson. And at what point do you say, all right, I'll just end this by going, I got four rings here. Now, scoreboard, great. You're dating a Jenner, Kardashian, great. I got four rings here. Yes.
I don't know if that's what he said, though. Like, yeah, well, look at my girlfriend. Yeah, now who's winning?
I probably would have led with that.
Like all the like high school crap that like you got picked on in high school and then you got a hot girl. Oh, yeah, but now I got a hot girlfriend, though. So
I scored 70 and I scored a Kardashian.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Four rings. Look who I'm going home with.
Yes, Mark.
See, this is what ring culture did to us. And that's why LeBron ended up going to Miami. Like, oh, nobody wants to be Charles Barkley when it comes to Shaq saying stuff about 20 years ago. Like, man, that was 20 years ago. But now nobody wanted to be Chuck on the TNT stage 20 years after they were done playing. Look, you don't have any rings. And now you got rings. But you didn't do it alone. You said you wanted me to get rings, and I got them.
Yes, Paul.
It is the sports version of the middle finger. There's no answer to it because if you don't have the ring – it kind of ends the conversation. That's what people with rings
but
think.
But do you hold up your middle finger?
No, you just hold up your ring finger because you might be on TV.
But you could always say, you could just say, I'm going to hold up this finger and then point to that as if I have enough rings to go on my fingers here. You could do that. Yes, Eden.
Like, yeah, dude, I just torched you for 50. Yeah, but I got a ring 4 years ago. So there you go. Where were you 4 years ago when I got a ring? And even though tonight you beat me, but...
You know what the...
It doesn't matter.
The bigot, do you think that's how it sounded?
Yes.
Hey, D-Book, you better stop that right now.
7 years ago, I got a ring, though, so where were you then?
You know, the bigger story is Klay Thompson and what's his future? You know, limited minutes, averaging 11 a game... And you start to wonder, you know, is he going to ever be able to come back? Now, he did play, 32 games last year, averaged 20. But he was not that weapon that he once was. And certainly, you know, he's one of the great two-way players that we've had. And he's not even that. But, you know, do you ease into more minutes here? Is he going to get back to, can he get back to where he was? Because he'd been through an awful lot. Yeah, Marv.
The Warriors are in such a good spot because you have all these young studs with all these aging stars. And then when the playoffs come and it all comes together, you know what? They're going to be like the Spurs, maybe like 2014. Not the world's greatest regular season team, but when it came to playoffs, they had the young Bucks and you had those old wily veterans ready to get down to business.
Bloop, bloop. All right. Other poll questions, Todd?
We got a couple more. I was looking at Rory McIlroy making some comments about the out-of-control competition or feud going on between the two golf leagues or whatever you want to call them, and it's going to continue for a long time. So the poll question. Did I make that noise
slow
again?
Slow down.
So the poll question. So, I'm very excited right now.
Todd had to give the entire story because it's so out of left field for anything that we're going
to
talk about today.
This poll question as to why is this one of the polls.
You made it more confusing. Yeah.
Okay.
Which can you not care less about? LIV Golf versus PGA beef or college basketball preseason polls? Which do you care
about? Oh, I don't care about the college basketball preseason polls, but that is a random poll question.
Because of those hot McIlroy comments about the out-of-control feud going on.
But it's still there, and, you know, when McIlroy says something and it's back and forth, and Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson, you still have some marquee people involved in all of this. Yeah, Paul.
And Rory McIlroy's had the best year of any golfer in recent history. He's become the face of golf worldwide and probably the most likable golfer. People who don't even like golf root for this guy. Yeah. They like the way he stood up to the tour, and he does it every day. And you see clips of him. He's had an unbelievable year.
You got another poll question?
I've got one other one. I don't know if you pronounce it Shoemaker or Schumacher, if he's a jockey or if he's a Formula One guy. But what is Skip Shoemaker's profession, if that's how you pronounce his name? Accountant, human resources director, investment banker, Vice President of Sales and Marketing. That's a nice title. Or your new manager of the Marlins.
Yeah.
Which one?
Marlins manager.
Excellent. New manager of your Miami Marlins.
Yeah. Taking over for Donnie Baseball. All
right. Fritzy remembers him with the Cardinals. Fritzy, you remember him.
He was the bench coach for a little while with the Cardinals. And his name is Skip, so you would think he'd be a manager.
He was a good player with the Cardinals.
His actual play? I don't even know.
He hit like 306 times.
Skip Shoemaker, Marlins manager.
Did he hit 306 times?
I got him four times hit. He hit 333, 302, 303, and 290 season. He was a nice player for the Cardinals in like 07 through 12. Hmm. Played for the Dodgers for a touch.
Yes, he did.
I have one more poll question, but we could save it.
Let me take a break here. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me take a break here. Got a lot of things to get to. Aaron Rodgers, Magic Johnson comments on Kareem and LeBron. The real reason why Matt Ryan got benched and will never play again for the Colts. So a lot of things to get to. A little bit later on, next hour at this time, Jeff Perlman has written a book on Bo Jackson. And really well done, but this is what Perlman does. He's written, I think, 10 books on sports legends, and wrote one on Favre, Peyton, the Lakers. So Jeff Perlman will join us. We'll talk about fact and fiction with Bo Jackson. And Marcellus Wiley, our good buddy, former Pro Bowl defensive end. His podcast is available at danpatrick.com. We'll talk to him about an interview he did with Bruce Smith recently. And some really powerful things that came out of that. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back after this Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite exquisitely spacious, near-silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
The new book, The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. He joins us on the program. What made you decide that you were going to go all in on Bo Jackson?
I mean, I'm a nostalgist when it comes to sports, probably like you are. When I think about sort of my childhood, on my wall, the Bo Jackson poster with the bat overs. In my college dorm at the University of Delaware, the poster with him in the different, you know, uniforms. I think he's mysterious. I think there's a legacy there that hasn't really gone sort of a deep dive. And I just am fascinated by him. I'm fascinated by everything about that guy and have been for a long time.
You know, I have the Nike campaign. I have the baseball. It's over here on the wall. Bo, just do it. And yeah. I don't know that how old that is, how many decades old that is, but I remember getting it. And this is with the baseball and the football with Bo and those great commercials. I might be 35 years old, but it feels like everybody has a Bo Jackson story or they've heard a Bo Jackson story. Were you, is part of the challenge kind of sorting through and say that's real and that's not real?
Yeah, definitely. And also allowing a little bit for the mythology of it all. You know, like there is a certain, you know, like he, his first, he played the first night game in University of Georgia baseball history. And they put in the lights and they brought Auburn his junior year of baseball. And everyone kept telling me this story. They're like, Bo Jackson hit the lights with a home run. Bo Jackson hit the lights. It was crazy. And I'm like, and this is 39 days before The Natural came out. I'm like, there's no way Bo Jackson hit the lights. That's stupid. Well, Bo Jackson hit the lights. He was playing right field. They were booing him to hell. His first at bat, he grounds out. They're mocking him in the outfield. His second at bat, he comes up against a pitcher named Larry Lyons, University of Georgia. Hits a ball that slams into the light fixture, falls to the ground. He jogs back out to the outfield. I swear to God, Dan, this is true. They're bowing at him. His next two at-bats, Dan, he hits two more home runs. His last at-bat, he doubles, and they boo him. True story. 100% true, but not on tape.
How much interaction did you have with Bo?
Very little. So I, when I was first working on the book, I sent him a copy of some of my other books. I wrote him a note. He called me. We spoke for about a half hour. He was incredibly nice. He told me, you know, a lot of people have reached out to him over the years. It's not his interest to write a book. He doesn't really want to be involved. So I then got really lucky. You remember Bo Knows Bo, the autobiography. Everyone remembers that book. Yeah. So that was written with Dick Schaap. Before Dick Schaap passed away, he donated all his notes and all the audio recordings to the Auburn Library, all of them. They've been sitting in a basement for 30 years. Oh. And I was able to acquire them. And it's basically hours and hours of Bo Jackson talking to Dick Schaap, most of it never used. I also interviewed 720 people, just a real sort of deep dive into the guy.
But why do you think he said no?
He's very guarded. He's very reluctant. I think athletes of that generation, a lot of them think like, this guy's just trying to make a buck off me, or this guy's just trying to, I mean, I get it. You know, a lot of these athletes from that era feel like they were taken advantage of. I think his legacy is worthy of a deep dive biography. I think people should remember him. I think my kids should know who he is. But I 100% get it. I never begrudge someone.
I always wondered this. Certain guys love sports, love playing a sport. Some guys are just good at it. They don't love it. They're just really good at it. You know, Andrew Luck, I don't know if he loved it. He was just really good at it. And then I always thought with Bo, did he love football? Or did he was just great at football, but he loved baseball.
He loved track. Like, he loved track. At Auburn, he was a great, great sprinter. Mm-hmm. He would have been an Olympian. There's almost no doubt about it. Skill-wise, he was there. I mean, he ran a 4.13 40 at Auburn. He liked football. He liked some of the elements of football. He liked baseball more than football. He liked the pacing of baseball, the camaraderie of baseball. But really, he was coming. He was showing up at the stadium. He was doing his job. He was leaving. I also just want to say, Dan, he shows up with the Raiders, and they actually are skeptical of his 40 time. So Tom Flores is a coach, and he has him run a 40 on grass in pads, and he runs a 4.19. They don't believe it. They have him do it again on grass in pads, 225 pounds. He runs a 4.17.
He ran it better the second time.
His first major league at bat. His first major league at bat, September 2nd, 1986, Royals, White Sox. He hits a grounder to second base, Tim Hewlett. He beats it out. 3.6 seconds. It is the fastest record, a second fastest recorded time ever from home to first for by a right-handed hitter. It's his first at bat. The only guy who ran faster top tape-wise was Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's a joke.
I do love the story when Bo got brought up to the Royals, because he was coming up, and that was a veteran team. You had some crusty old veterans there. Tell the story when Bo, first goes into the locker room.
Well, he shows up. It's like so tone deaf. It's fantastic. With a stack of glossies of him with the Heisman Trophy, and he signed them all and went locker to locker and left them on the seats, thinking like Frank White and George Brett. What they really need in their lives is an autographed picture of some 22-year-old. And Hal McCray was the DH in his last year with the Royals, and he goes around following Bo, and he takes the pictures and starts throwing them up in the air, and everyone starts throwing their own pictures up in the air. And George Brett looks around, and he like takes four of them and hangs them up by his locker. Everyone else just chucks them away. He was arrogant, but he was cocky. He was confident. He was not arrogant. He was very confident.
I had an opportunity. First time I interviewed him, he had won the Heisman. And I was working at CNN, sat down and did an interview. And he had a really bad stuttering problem. And so you didn't really know about him. What you knew is what you watched with Bo. And he wasn't effusive. He kind of careful in what he was saying and how he was saying it. But later on, I played golf with him and Jim McMahon.
Oh, wow.
And Bo putts one-handed.
Yeah.
And he was great because I let McMahon and Bo talk, because being a reporter or journalist, I wanted them to just have fun. So we were playing a round of golf in Chicago, and I just remember Bo putting one-handed, and I said, why are you putting one-handed? He goes, well, look at how well you putt two-handed.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, oh, okay. But
yeah,
he was telling stories back then, whereas, he probably wouldn't have done that if it was just me and, somebody else. But with McMahon was able to talk to him and get him to be a little bit more forthcoming.
Wait, Dan, you know how you and I in media, we come across certain guys who aren't really good for us, but we admire them because we understand that they're actually like. I remember doing a story years ago. Sports Illustrated sent me to do a piece on Paul Konerko, the White Sox first baseman. Yeah. And I showed up in Chicago, and the guy said to me, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't really want an article on me. It's nothing against you. I just don't really want that. Like, I'm pretty happy right now, and I'm living my life, and I don't need 5 pages in a magazine about me. I'm good. And you're like, oh, man, I just flew out here. But you also kind of admire it. And I feel like that's Bo Jackson in a lot of ways. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's such a shame. Your career was cut short. He's like, I don't see it as a shame. You could have been in the Hall of Fame. I don't really care. Like, I don't care. And I kind of admire that. In fact, very much admire that about the guy. He's not out there comparing himself to Derrick Henry. He's not out there saying, you think this guy's good. You should have seen me. I could have been Mike Trout. Never, never, ever, ever. And it's one of the most beautiful things about him.
Well, it's like John Stockton. John Stockton, we'd get to the NBA Finals, and NBC would be begging John to do an interview. And he just said, I don't want to do it. That's not why I play. I play to play, not to do these interviews. What did you find out about the hip injury with Bo?
Well, it was, first of all, the Raiders really butchered it at first. He was basically, it was this debilitating hip injury. And he's on the sideline for the rest of the game. He's in the locker room after, just kind of hanging around talking. He went to Buffalo next week when they lost to the Bills 51-3. When he finally got a scan of the hip, there was a huge black mark on the scan. And the doctor says, Bo, do you know what that is? And he's like, no. He goes, that's your blood pooling in your hip. And he, you know, he had just signed. He, right after that hip injury happened, he insists to everyone, I'm going to be fine. The Royals signed him to a $2 million contract.
And that was big at the time.
Oh, yeah. And they thought he was going to report to spring training and be okay. He reports to spring training on these purple crutches. And he goes to Alabama to see Frank Andrews, Dr. Andrews, to get a look at the hip. And while he's in Alabama, the Royals release him because they're either going to be on the books for $2 million or they're not. And they're just like, you're not going to come back from this. You can't come back from this. It is impossible for you to come back from this. And the thing about the Royals, their vantage point, John Schuerholz, Art Stewart, they didn't want him playing football from the beginning. And they said from the very beginning, don't do this. Don't do this. Told his agents, don't do this. He insisted on doing it. He was mad at them after they released him, but I don't really see what option they had.
And then he got an artificial hip.
Well, first he played. Here's the crazy thing. 91, he signs with the White Sox. Everyone thinks it's a joke, a gag. White Sox just getting some publicity points. He comes back at the end of that year playing without an artificial hip and basically limping along. And he's not awful. But he comes back for spring training in 92, and it's a really sad, there's a sad moment I wrote about in the book. He's playing, he's limping all over the place. He hits a grounder in a spring training game to short. Cecil Fielder's playing first for the Tigers. He holds his hands up to Alan Trammell saying, don't throw the ball, because it was so pathetic watching Bo limp down the line. He didn't want to embarrass him. He gets a hip replacement, comes back in 93. White Sox make the playoffs. He hits a huge home run to get him there against Dave Fleming in Seattle.
We're talking to Jeff Perlman. The book is a great book to pick up, The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. You also wrote the Brett Favre book, and then everything that came out, you sent out a tweet, I believe, saying basically, don't buy this book. If you haven't bought it, don't buy it. Did you see any of this coming?
I feel like, in a way, we all did this wrong, we in the media. I won't speak for you, but I'm saying, like, when he sent that, this is going to sound corny. When he sent the pictures of his, you know, private parts to Jen Sterger, the sideline reporter, I feel like Brett Favre should have been dead to us all. Like, that should have been enough. Yeah. You know, like, what kind of person does that? And we always fell for the gunslinger swagger. Oh, he's a gunslinger. Look, he's coming back with the Vikings. My book was a hard look at him. It was not a glorious look of Brett Favre. But I still think, did I fall for this? So the reason I sent out that tweet, the guy allegedly took money. He's from Mississippi. This is your state. It is the poorest state in the nation. People need welfare money to survive. And you and the governor are funneling welfare money to pay for a volleyball arena at your alma mater that you could afford. I always think, like, did you learn nothing from your career, from the diversity of sports, from being around guys from different backgrounds? You've certainly played with guys who grew up in largely African-American communities, who grew up on welfare, who grew up with hardworking parents who needed help. Did you learn nothing? Does that just mean nothing to you? And I was so disturbed and so disgusted. I was like, don't buy this book. Don't waste your time reading about this jackass.
Yeah. All right. My guys want to pitch you your next book.
Love it.
Okay. All right. Paulie, I'll start with you. Give me your elevator pitch for Jeff.
I think Larry Bird is one of the greatest athletes of all time. I think the story of his youth, there's a lot of stuff there about Bob Knight and going to Indiana. Was he doing garbage and he was found at a pool and all this stuff with Indiana State? His family, his father, there's a lot of people outside of Indiana don't know his background, and I think a really detailed book would be fantastic.
Hasn't that already been written?
With him, he wrote
Bob Ryan already?
Yeah, Drive with Bob Ryan.
Yeah, wrote. Okay. Seton, what's your pitch?
Well, this is another athlete who seemingly has endless legendary stories about him. Probably more humorous than anything, because the dude was just like a walking, I don't know, just one line after the other. Okay. But John's hitting 316. Ricky's hitting 330. Ricky Henderson, the stories about him are just the absolute best. But I know there have been a couple books about him. But I feel like there's got to be more stories out there.
All right.
Wait, Dan, can I just say, Howard Bryant released a book probably 5 months ago called Ricky. It's a tremendous, tremendous biography.
It's
of
on Seton's desk.
It's
desk,
literally
right?
Sitting on my desk.
It's over there. That's why I was saying Howard wrote this already.
And you can still have another one.
Todd, what's your pitch?
My pitch is, if not the brothers, then we focus on Sterling Sharp. Seven seasons, he was on to major greatness, had the neck injury, personality, maybe not quite as much as Shannon Sharp, but I'd be interested in a deep dive on Sterling Sharp.
I think it's a little too niche.
Is that just a story?
Yeah.
Then we'll do the Wesley Walker biography.
Oh, yes. One eye. He's my kind of guy.
Marv, you got a pitch for Jeff.
You know what? The business of LeBron James with Rich Paul, Maverick Carter, the entire thing from the jump. I'm sure it's probably been written about, but Jeff, like, the Showtime book was ridiculously good. So just a real deep dive into even the Cavs.
Now I got you kissing up a little bit. Oh, yeah, Showtime Lakers was great. Jeff, what are some of the ones that you're thinking about?
I actually have been talking at length about, just with friends, about Larry Bird as a possible. I think there is a great Larry Bird biography to be written. Mm. You know, their last book was, I think, was the Bob Ryan book when he was still playing.
Hold on, Jeff. One seat.
Okay, what about UNLV late 80s, early 90s?
Ooh.
There's some stories there.
UNLV?
Yeah, I think it's the thing is, I'm being serious. Like, the question is, like, is there mass audience appeal? Are enough? I'm not saying there isn't, but are enough people going to bite on a UNLV book? Are the names big enough? Charkanian, maybe Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman. I just don't know for sure.
You got someone said Vegas to me and gamblers and, you know.
Wait, let me ask you guys. I'm being serious. Someone pitched me an idea or said to me the other day, you should do a book about 80s wrestling, like WWE 1980. Sure. It's not a horrible idea, right?
You know you're going to have, you know, a mass audience that are going to be interested in that. Absolutely. Yeah. What, Marv? You want another pitch?
I'm switching it. No. The Urban Meyer Florida Gators teams.
Whoa. Marvelous.
That's not bad. That's pretty good. All right, I'm in.
You're in.
You guys pay me. Dan Patrick Press.
Well, are you gonna get 30 minutes with Urban Meyer, because he's probably not gonna want to talk about this.
I'll just go to the bar he owns and hang out with the attractive women and show up.
Look at that. Shots fired. Did you hear what Perlman said about Urban Meyer? Good luck with the book. It's one of those fascinating guys that, you're right, he didn't say much. I don't know how many great interviews you actually heard, but the stories about Bo told by other people, that's what makes it so much fun. Because they tell it in a way where you're not going to believe this, but, and then you eventually believe it when, you know, they back it up.
I do just want to say, he hit a baseball in a game against Fairfield High that went so high that the left fielder, by the time it came down, Bo was rounding third base. And I thought that was ridiculous. And I talked about 12 different people from that game, and they all told me the same story. So maybe it's not true, but maybe it is.
But didn't you talk to the pitcher?
I don't know if I talked to the pitcher from that game. I talked to the left fielder who caught the ball.
Oh, the left fielder. Okay.
I talked to the pitcher from the game against Georgia.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks for joining us. Always great to talk to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite spacious, near-silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
The Danettes were just telling me a story. We were in New York a couple of years ago, and Seton thought Paulie was going to get into a fight. Were we going to a party with Shaq and Reggie Miller and... What happened?
It was a party around the premiere of the Uncle Drew movie.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And Shaq was there, Chris Webber. All I remember, and Seton probably remembers it better than I do, we haven't even started drinking yet, so it was not alcohol infused.
Well, most of us.
Yeah. We were in two different cars. Seton and Fritzy got out of the cab, and they were just like 10 seconds ahead of me and McLovin. And I got out, and some drunk guy was saying something to Fritzy. Like, just... rude stuff. I just out of nowhere. Fritzy just happened to be in his path. Mm-hmm. And I guess I said something to the guy, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, we had said somewhere along the line, like, we had, like, engaged with this dude, and he was getting really, really aggressive, enough to where, like, you know, before something happens, you do that sort of, like, step back, and your chest sort of comes out, and, like, you're making a fist, like, oh, okay, I'm ready to, you know, and there was one of those moments where Paul, he looked at me and was just like, kind of like a you got my back kind of thing with this, and it was very close to going, but the dude was hammered. And I was like, dang, I got the like feeling, you know, where you're like, oh, damn, we're about to get into a fight.
Paulie was definitely ready to punch.
See, of
guy.
All the people, you would think, okay, who would get into a fight on this show? Paulie's the one, it feels like, could get into a fight before anybody else could.
Yeah. I'm not a tough guy, but like, if you see something about to happen, sometimes it's better to be the aggressor and the other guy walks away.
Yes,
sometimes you could bluff.
Yes,
yeah, I feel like it might be Paul is right up there. I'm probably most likely to get punched of anybody in the group. Paul is most likely to get into a fight, though.
Marcellus Wiley, former NFL defensive end, host of More To It, the podcast on the Dan Patrick Network. He sat down with Bruce Smith. We'll talk about that in a moment. Last time you got into a fight, Marcellus.
Oh, 11th grade. I'm not a fighter, so I look the part, but certainly if I ever had an altercation, I'm the one running first. I just don't believe in fighting at all. Saw too many fights escalate to bad experiences, death experiences. So I'm not a fighter. But in 11th grade, I was walking through, it was the locker room, it's narrow walkway, and another guy, just a regular student, was walking. And you know how you got to do that cordial turn, like we both give 15 degrees, we're good. He ain't give me the 15 degrees. So we bumped shoulders, and I'm like, dude. And then he looked at me like he wanted some action. And that time I did cave in, and I gave him what he wanted. And I gave him the business. And that was the last time I ever had a fight. And I've been in many altercations, many disputes. Many guys have tested me, but no fight since 11th grade.
How silly are NFL fights?
Oh, God. I mean, it's one, you know, it's self-destruction because you're hitting the guy with a helmet on. You know he has padding, and you know you're not going to get a great punch off unless you pull a Draymond Green, Steve Smith Sr. Other than that, it's just futile in terms of what are you really proving. So I never got into fights in the NFL because I knew the end game was to be the most powerful in the locker room. So the playmakers, the ones who are balling, they don't have to fight. Why am I fighting? You already know. Go get my Popeyes. Go get my food. Go get my donuts. That's, to me, the fight for, to be the most powerful.
The last guy you would ever fight in the NFL was who?
Oh, if I oh. – John Randall early, Ray Lewis middle, late in my career. Sean Merriman had a moment there where I was like, yo, I don't know what he's on, but well, I did find out. I'm kind of fine out. But the point is, those three dudes kind of stood out like, yeah, they playing football a little more than the average Joe.
James Harrison would scare me.
You know what? I know James Harrison. He is a teddy bear, and I say that lightly and with a lot of miles between us right now. But he's like, since I know him, I know that that is a little bit of his protection, a little of his projection, not necessarily to the core, but he'll put hands on you for sure.
All right. Help me understand this Mike Evans situation. You just got embarrassed. He dropped the football. He had a sure touchdown. He goes off the field and two officials are there talking to him. What did you see?
Yeah. I mean, in that situation, it's all about the optics. The integrity of the game is more than just, are you making the right calls? It's also the perception of it all. And just like with a player, if you saw a player jogging on a play, you would start to question the integrity of that play, the integrity of that player. And it's the same thing with a referee. After a contest, we just don't want to see you going up for an autograph session. It just can't go down, not on the NFL's watch and not with thousands of people in plain view. So in that situation, I know he probably thought, hey, I'm in the tunnel, the game's over, what does it matter? But you got to be smarter than that. And so in that situation, I just blame the officials for really compromising and undermining what the integrity of the game looks like.
What do you expect from the Buccaneers, given what's happened, and now they play tomorrow night against Lamar Jackson? I wondered, how difficult is it to prepare for Lamar Jackson? I wondered if it was like when you try to prepare for Army football, that you don't see it every week, but when you see it, it still is successful.
Yeah, the most difficult thing is to find that athlete that can represent what Lamar Jackson is going to bring during the game. And there's no one on your team. So usually, like when we play Michael Vick, we would find a receiver and then hope he could throw. And just like he would run around and play quarterback because we couldn't use our quarterbacks. And even that is not a proximity. Like, it's not going to assemble what you're going to see in the game. In the game, you're going to see something that's blurry. Like, we know what fast is, but the geometry it takes to go get a guy that you have not seen with that level of athleticism is hard to replicate. So it's going to be tough on the Bucs because they're distracted right now, and you can see it through their play. You can see it through Tom Brady and his body language. It's a team that doesn't have his eyes on the prize, and that's why they're having their struggles.
As a former defensive player, how do you know when you got a quarterback? Like, he's defeated before the game is over.
Oh. Well, first, you don't get the direct signal from the quarterback. You get it from his offensive line. And you can tell by how the depth of the offensive lineman, like, are they really trying to put their head to the belt of the next offensive lineman? That means there's fear. Because if not, he'll just line up in the normal formation. But when they really try to stretch it, you know you got an issue there. We could get something done. Then you start looking at the quarterback And a lot of times it's the cadence. If they're too cute with the cadence, like, you're like, oh, dog, you're going to throw y'all off more than me, because he's trying to play that game, that cat and mouse game. But once you get a quarterback, the funniest thing about them is if it's a pocket passer, he's shot. Like, he's not, oh, this is going to be four quarters of hell. But if it's an athletic quarterback, I don't think you ever have that guy tap out. That guy never says uncle, because he always can just draw up a play because of his athleticism. So I hated going against guys who knew that they could run, because they always had options.
We're talking to Marcellus Wiley, his podcast, More To It, on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. And you teased this last week when I talked to you. You said, you know, we talk about a lot of things. You were supposed to be the next Bruce Smith. But you talked about the racism that Bruce faced. I had not heard that before. What made you go in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Smith, amazing. Obviously, I think he's the greatest defensive end of all time. He's my football father. So it was a weird introduction, Bruce Smith and I, because I get drafted in the second round to the Buffalo Bills from small school Columbia. And the headlines in Buffalo were the next Bruce Smith. And I'm reading the headline, too. I'm like, who are they talking about? Not me. Do y'all know how many sacks this dude gets every year? And it was funny. At first, our relationship, it wasn't a standoff relationship, but he made me earn my stripes. He had to see some talent and potential, and I showed him. But I never thought I was going to be the next Bruce Smith. I mean, that's like playing basketball. Like, I'm going to be the next Michael Jordan. It's like, you might be great, but you might not get to that level. So knowing Bruce and knowing everything he's been through, it was surprising to me doing my research for the podcast that Bruce Smith had experienced racism in Buffalo, because I never experienced anything like that. And for it to be full circle for everything that's happening in Buffalo and what happened with the massacre at the grocery store, Bruce Smith really felt that right in his heart because of his experience while he played. He was getting letters. He was having some experiences to the point where he thought about getting traded. He demanded a trade that didn't go through and try to protect his family in that moment. So it's interesting to see him go through that 30, 40 years ago and still have some evidence of that
there.
Right now.
What is it like to stand there and somebody's yelling at you and they can say whatever they want to yell at you and there's nothing you can do?
Yeah, man, I'm desensitized to it, and I'm not trying to be tough. I just don't care enough about what someone else says in competition to what I think about myself. So every time someone says something to me that's disparaging, I'm like, that has to battle what I think of myself. And that doesn't mean that they're always wrong. It just means I'm not going to let you get to me. So I always tell people, this is what a football game is like. Depends on perspective. If you're on the field, you only hear two things, or boo. But if you're in the stands, you don't hear or boo. You hear that mother, oh, he sucks. Oh, his mama ain't nothing. And it all kind of translates and funnels into just cheers and boos. So when you have someone in your face and they're trying to obviously just undress you, I always have the biggest cheerleaders in my eyes, in my ears, saying, nah, Marcellus, can't let them get to you, bro. You got to be stronger than that.
It's got to be difficult. Who's the guest next week on the podcast?
Next week, we have LaDainian Tomlinson. Mm. And LaDainian, talking about humble beginnings to become one of the greatest running backs of our era of all time. And he was my teammate. So he gets drafted the year I am a free agent to San Diego. So you imagine my first day landing there is Junior Seau, the veteran, rest in peace. And Rodney Harrison, great defense. And then we draft LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees and throw in a little Tim Dwight on the side as well. So we had a loaded roster, and it was a great introduction, and it was a great interview with LaDainian.
But why is it the Chargers always find the banana peel? They're the Charlie Brown of the NFL. They got so much talent, and Everybody gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no real answer to that, because – like when people always say winning culture, you mean we're winning and the guys in here are winners? Like, that can change. The Chicago Bulls used to have a winning culture. Look at them now. The Lakers used to have a winning culture. Look at them now. Like, I just think it's about the horses. I think it's about the players. With that said, the Chargers, 14-2. Remember that year?
I know.
I do, because that was the year after I was cut, and then they went 14-2. So I was in my feelings. I was like, damn, how'd they get that good without me? but you saw how it ended, too. Yeah. They didn't even win a playoff game that year. I don't have that real answer, being a former Charger, but hopeful that this is our year.
Can you imagine being Matt Ryan? You win a game, you struggle against the Titans, and now they say he'll never play for the Colts again because of his contract. They're guaranteeing money next year. They have to do that, but they don't want to pay more than that. Therefore, they're shutting him down, and his career might be over.
Yeah. I blame everybody involved. Let's start with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan had to know what his level of equity was still in this league in terms of what is the perception of Matt Ryan. And it was pretty low. Let's just be real. Even though you can get a breath of fresh air and that resurgence and people reimagine who you are, he had to know he was pretty low in his equity. So I blame him for going to a situation where he had little to no leash. But I also blame them for selling him on a situation that you never think of a former franchise quarterback going to a new destination and not even getting half the season. Like, it can't go that bad for you, and you pull Matt Ryan in that moment. So all parties to me involved are guilty of not necessarily speaking the truth or acknowledging the real.
But what's that like when you know your career's over?
Well, yeah, you're talking to a guy who knows that. It's weird, like, to be the walking dead, you know, like, it happened to me in Dallas, Bill Parcells, and it happened to me before the season started. I just didn't realize it. Bill Parcells walked with me. I'm going against Flozell Adams, who was the house, the hotel, the entire apartment building. And it's the worst experience when a great player is your teammate, because it was Flozell Adams and Larry Allen next to each other. I'm like, damn.
Wow.
If I had to play against Dallas, I have to do that once a year. I have to practice against these dudes 60 reps a day. So our first rep against Flozell in training camp, Parcells comes over because I'm the big free agent. He wants to see what I got. And I did a pass rush. Flozell just consumed me, just gobbled me up, Jabba the Hutt me. And I just went in his belly, disappeared. And Parcells looked at me and said, Wiley, is that all you got?
Ooh.
And I looked at him, and he went like this. And that still rings loud, because that was the moment I realized I didn't have six gear anymore. I wasn't that guy. So now you're going around and everyone's looking at you different, and you're the last one to realize it. But it happened to me in a game. I played against some young rookie in Tennessee, and the kid blocked the hell out of me. And then I'm going back to the huddle, and he said, damn, Wiley, what happened to you? I grew up on you. You fell off. And then that with the Parcells ring, let me know. It's about over, bro.
Great to talk to you. We look forward to LaDainian Tomlinson on the podcast. It's called More To It, danpatrick.com. Thank you, Marcellus. Great to talk to you.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.